What's up, guys? Rick here with your preview for this week's PGA Championship, the second major championship of the year. We are going to use data, research, information, analytics to the best of our ability and figure out who the best players are for Valhalla this week and see if we can find some edges. A couple of quick announcements. Don't jump forward just yet. First and foremost, I'll be on site this week. I'll be at the PGA Championship. The setup that we have for CBS Sports is right on the driving range. Hopefully we're out of line of target out there, but we'll be right on the driving range. Come say hello. If you see me, grab me. Looking forward to meeting as many of you as possible. Second, as a thank you for all the support throughout the years and this year specifically, I've got more swag and merch boxes to give away. Here's what I've put together so far for the PGA Championship. If you're watching on YouTube, it is a variety of different things that I've already purchased from Valhalla, along with some other things that I've picked up in my travels this year. And I'll get some more as we go throughout the week when I get there on site and get to the merch tent. All you have to do is be subscribed to my email newsletter. It's 100% free. I send out information, trends, and stats every single week. The link is in the description as long as you're signed up. And if you're already signed up, you're already eligible. So all good there. And then last announcement, there is a second chance one and done. So if you're one and done, is off to a bad start like mine has been recently, there is a second chance. This is on Splash Sports. We've been using them throughout the year. They're great. $50 entry. It has flatter payout structure. So $3,500 to first, and then a lot more people get paid. This is legal, regulated in 41, I think, states now, plus the District of Columbia. So go sign up. Link is in the description. Let's fill this thing up and we'll run this from the PGA Championship through the BMW Championship. So it should be a lot of fun. All right, let's jump into Valhalla. Okay, this is my website, rickrungood.com. It's a giant database for fantasy golf and golf betting. There's models and there are tools and things that allow you to build lineups and everything like that. So it's always a little bit difficult for the course key stats when you go to major championships that are not the Masters, because they're played at a variety of different courses. Oftentimes they are updated or changed or renovated. I mean, we did play Valhalla in 2014, but I think there's only four guys in the field who played this event in 2014. No, I guess there's probably more than that, but that's 10 years ago, right? I mean, think about how few of the guys in the field are back in the field. And then what changes have been made? There's been new tee boxes added. There's been work done to Valhalla. So what I do is I take a variety of setups from the PGA of America. I go and do the satellite imagery, take the measurements, compare it to other courses, find statistical trends, get comps, all that fun stuff. And then I load it into this model and I pump out what I think is going to, or what the model thinks is going to be important for this week. And it's no surprise when you get to a major, especially a PGA Championship, especially a US Open, something like that, it is basically big boy American golf. You know, American golf, hit it far, have thick rough, penalize golfers for missing the fairway. The PGA of America likes to do graduated rough. The farther offline you get, the worse lie. So all of that in mind here. Driving distance appears to be critically important, highly correlated to success for this week. Approach play, around the green play. When you have around the green play, it is a situation where, you know, not a lot of greens are going to be hit and you're going to have to be able to get up and down. Par is likely to be a good score in a lot of situations. I think this is a club head speed play, right? So club head speed allows you to do a couple of different things. It allows you to hit the ball far, which is an advantage against your peers. It also allows you to extract from thick rough, which is an advantage against your peers. I think there are spots on this golf course where the fairways are so narrow that most golfers are going to be playing out of that primary rough, that the rough. I don't know what I was trying to say there. But the I think the other advantage is going to be greens and regulation, right? Can you find the green? That is something that gets ramped up at major championships. We hear Brooks Koepka talk about it. We hear Victor Hovland talk about it. Just removing the pin as a target and hitting greens in regulation. The reason for that, one, it takes a lot of big numbers out of play, gives you maybe a more birdie opportunities that you're less likely to make, but removes bogey and double from play often. And then really, the problem when you miss greens at majors is it is usually much more difficult around the green than regular PGA Tour events. If you take all of that information and look at the last 36 rounds and you do an adjusted fit, Scottie Scheffler gets the best adjusted fit for Valhalla. He hits it far. He keeps it in play, hits a lot of greens in regulation. He has a great short game. And now the putter is starting to be figured out. Joaquin Niemann, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, and Hideki Matsuyama round out the top five in terms of adjusted fit. What I'm going to do now, and I know this isn't for everybody, but what I'm going to do now is I'm going to walk you through a couple of examples on the satellite imagery. And I've got this all mapped out. I'm working with a player this week, as I did the last PGA Championship. I'm going to show you some stuff that we're working through to give you an idea about this golf course. I know this isn't for everybody. I know this is pretty nerdy, but I know the people who like this really like this. So if you want to fast forward to the cheat sheet, that's fine. But I think this might give you a couple of really good examples here. Okay. Now that we've gotten rid of all the cool kids, the nerds can nerd out here. So this is number one. All right. And number one is just a really good example of what the golf is going to be like here at Valhalla. You're talking about this is at 300 yards, 36 yards wide. If you hit it farther than that, it pinches up even more. And then you're having to hit a strong shot into these greens. Let me show you a couple of other holes that I think are going to be important for this week. I'm going to take you over to number seven. Seven is this split fairway. You're going to see a lot of different strategies here. Do you hit it to the left side, this island fairway, and bring this creek water garbage in the middle into play, and then have to carry everything over on your second shot? Or do you hit it out to the right, which is a little bit safer, a little bit wider, have to hit a longer shot in, but not have to carry the water? So if you look at this, the dispersion pattern for a PGA pro, so every time I click this, it's about 50 shots, with drivers about 60 yards wide. So you're talking about some pretty significant misses here, and we could do the same thing. The problem is the right-hand side is not really that much better, right? So you're playing from a lot of rough here, and you have to hit the longer second shot. Another example, and I'll show you number nine to show you what I mean by, actually, let me show you eight. I think eight's the par three. I'm still getting used to this myself, but I think eight's the par three. It is. Okay. So the reason that a lot of these guys will just, or what they should be doing is taking every target to the middle of the green. Well, here's a five iron, a professional golfer, five iron dispersion, to a target that is the middle of the green. Yes, you're going to have a lot of long putts, but you are often playing from the putting surface or around it. Very few in these deep bunkers, these tricky bunkers. The problem is if you then try to take on a pin, so if we move the pin to like a traditional spot just over this bunker here, and you start using that as your target, you might have a few more opportunities at birdie, closer opportunities at birdie, but you're bringing in bogey and double much more frequently by missing the green and being on the short side of things. So that is why, in my opinion, the best thing to do at major championship golf is act like the pin does not exist and hit everything to the middle of the green. As I click through just a couple of these holes, just look. So basically at 300 yards, you are talking about 28 to 38 yards wide in most situations, a lot of 28 to 30 yards wide. That's very small. Now this is a good example here on number five. So 28 yard wide fairway, 41 yard wide landing area if you bring in the rough, and then you kind of get to this hay, right? I don't know of a better way to describe that. So the more you miss, the worse your position is going to be. Number six, that's you cannot probably hit driver there. That's 38 yards wide. Number seven, that's the hole we've already talked about. Eight's the par three. We go to nine. You're talking about it pinching in at 25 yards. I mean, it's just an incredibly tight golf course. It's going to ask you to hit a lot of really solid shots, a lot of really, look at 10, just nowhere to go, straight down the gullet, 24 yards wide at 300. It's just, you're going to have to just kind of hit some strong shots. You're going to have to just, I don't even know. You're just going to have to hit one. You're just going to have to be good. You're just going to have to hit good shots. So anyway, I'll stop there. I could take you through all 18 and nerd out some more, but we're looking for strong ball strikers. We're looking for keeping it in play. No big misses. The bigger the miss, the worse you're going to be. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, here's the cheat sheet at rickrungood.com, and there are 8 golfers over $10,000. I looked this up. That is tied for the most golfers over $10,000 in one tournament since I've been tracking salaries over 5 years. So this is a historically deep top of the board. It's led by Scottie Scheffler, $13,200. It goes down to Patrick Cantlay at $10,000 even. First off, look at how beautiful this is. You have 2 golfers who are coming in with back-to-back wins. One of them, Scottie Scheffler, coming in with 4 wins in his last 5 starts. You have Brooks Koepka coming in off a victory. So 3 of the top 5 most expensive golfers on this slate are entering with a victory. Let's talk numbers. And before we do that, I'm just going to zoom out here, right? So this is the last 36 rounds for everybody in this field. I'm going to get rid of senior tour rounds, Asian rounds. I'm even going to get rid of Korn Ferry tour rounds and just show you who the best players in this field are. Now, there are obviously ways that we need to compare these golfers between LIV and the European Tour and the PGA Tour, but Scottie Scheffler is gaining 2.92 strokes per round over the last 36. Joaquin Niemann and Sebastian Soderberg are the only other golfers over 2 strokes per round, Soderberg doing the vast majority of his dirty work on the European Tour. So if we flip this around and look at just the weighted strokes gained, so this looks at where you're playing, what the strength of field is, a variety of other factors, and starts ranking you based on how good you are compared to those peers, you'll see guys that get pretty significant boosts here. Scottie Scheffler still number 1. Xander Schauffele flies up the board. Ludvig Åberg, Wyndham Clark, and Hideki Matsuyama round out the top 5 there. So because we've got guys playing across a bunch of different tours, because this is a very deep field where guys are coming from everywhere, even from club pro status, we're going to have to use a little bit of math and logic and reason to compare those golfers. Scottie Scheffler is deservingly the favorite. I want to remind everyone that he has won 4 out of his last 5 starts, and the one that he did not win, he finished 2nd. Even before that stretch, he was piling up top 10 finishes left and right. He has been by far the best tee to green player on the planet, and now he's gained strokes putting in 5 straight. I am under the impression, because Bob Herrig mentioned this over the weekend, and I don't think Bob Herrig is a hot take machine. I think that he is a real journalist, that baby Scheffler has been born and that Scottie is going to be playing like normal. I am not going to try to get into the heads or the minds of these guys around life moments. I'm looking at the sheet and I see that Scottie Scheffler has been by far the best player in the world. With the way that Rory McIlroy has been closing that gap, and with the influx of Brooks Koepka, Jon Rahm from LIV Golf, with the excitement around Ludvig Åberg, what will Scottie's ownership be? Because that seems to be a more relevant question as opposed to like, will you be playing Scottie? Also, at $13,200, can you construct lineups that are viable with that huge price tag at the top? Because Valhalla is going to demand strong shots in the ball striking categories. And no one has been better than Scottie Scheffler there in quite some time. His short game is better than just about everybody's, and his putter is now adequate. The exciting thing is what Rory McIlroy has been doing. Now he's discounted $12,000. And I'll remind you that the pricing came out before he won the Wells Fargo Championship. And what he did at the Wells Fargo was truly special. He gained 6 strokes off the tee. He added another 4 at the putter. He had another 6 on approach. He's dialed in right now. His 2024 was kind of started a little bit slow, and then he played his way into Texas, played well at Texas, played well enough at the Masters. Listen, it's kind of its own animal. And then he gets back-to-back wins, won a team event, and won at the Wells Fargo Championship. Last time we played at Valhalla, he was your winner. If you go look up his PGA Championship history, and I can pull that up for you, they're obviously all different, right? But Rory at majors has been splendid. And Rory at non-Masters majors has kind of even been better. And he's gone T7, 8th at the last two PGA championships. He's putted well at both of those. He won at Valhalla, that was here, 2014, gained 16 strokes to the field. Just was awesome. Gained 5.6 strokes putting. He was just absolutely vibing. So I'll be interested to see what the industry does with these two. And I've got no problem just loading up on as much as possible of both. John Rahm offers a unique opportunity here. I think that Rahm will be the forgotten superstar. We've already talked about two guys who are going to garner a lot of looks in Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. You're going to get the 15% of people that play Xander because he's likely to finish inside the top five, even if he's not likely to win. And then you're going to get a ton of looks towards Brooks Koepka. We'll talk about Brooks in a second. There's just not enough clicks to go around. There's not enough salary to go around to get all of these guys. And John Rahm feels like the one who gets left behind. What I love about my site, rickrungood.com, is that I have the strokes gained data and the breakdowns for the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and LIV Golf. These are the official numbers. And what you're seeing from Rahm, despite not having a victory on LIV, is pretty spectacular. He is just the same player that he was on the PGA Tour. He's gaining 4, 5, or 6 strokes off the tee in basically every single tournament. The approach play struggled a little bit in Singapore. It was not great in Adelaide, but other than that, even going back to the Masters, he's gaining a stroke or two every single time he tees it up. He's got one of the best short games. It's actually quite underappreciated. And I think that he's looking around, hearing everything about Scotty, about Rory, about Brooks, and he wants to throw his name into the ring. He has not finished outside the top 10 on LIV. I understand that there are 54 player fields. Most of those are top five finishes. Most of them, he is probably just running out of holes. If they played 72 holes, I bet you John Rahm would have about 4 wins by now. So I'm really interested to see what the industry does with him. You look at his major championship record. It's awesome. The T45 at the Masters, he lost 3.6 strokes putting, but there's a lot that goes with being the defending champion there. There's a lot that goes with that's his first major championship that he played as a member of LIV. His major record last year, he had 3 top tens, including the win at the Masters. It's just splendid stuff. And major championships brings the cream to the top. So we can't play all these guys. Xander at 10,900, watching him crumble on Sunday and turn into a spectator and just witnessing Rory McIlroy demolish him is not great. And already kind of worries you when he's got this, branding that he kind of folds under pressure. I think there's a really good chance he finishes inside the top 10. Hard to think that he's going to be able to finally break through. The bottom of this range, Cantlay has been in the midst of probably the worst stretch of golf that we've seen him play in quite some time. I'll pull up his numbers here for you, but this is very uninspiring golf. Lost 3 strokes ball striking at the Wells Fargo. If you could look back to some of his other events from this year, there's just a real decline in his ball striking. When we were looking at him at the beginning of 2023, remember when he was an equipment free agent? And he was just playing, I forget what equipment he was playing, but he was playing whatever he wanted. And he was gaining 7, 8, 9, 10 strokes ball striking. He did that for the vast majority of 2023. And then all of a sudden, here to start 2024, he hasn't been able to get it going. And not only has he not been able to get it going, he hasn't even been field average. He hasn't even been tour average. It's been pretty miserable. And the putter hasn't been able to save him. The short game hasn't been able to save him. And it's a lot of really kind of bad finishes with not a lot of end in sight. So not so optimistic there. Colin Morikawa is starting to lay the blueprint of an elite major champion again. Wells Fargo wasn't great. RBC Heritage was meh at best, but We're getting now three straight measured starts in which he's gained at least three strokes putting. He's driving it well again. That's a really good sign. And he's giving us flashes of the ball striking stuff. He's kind of in between like two different coaches right now. I guess that's not really the best way to put it. So he leaves Rick Sessinghouse, who has been his swing coach for his entire life. He gets a couple of concepts from Mark Blackburn. And then from what I understand has gone back to Rick Sessinghouse to basically apply those things that he's learned, right? And maybe he just likes the voice better, likes the process better. I still worry that it's not passing the eye test for me. I think he hits a couple of wipey shots. I think that it's not as solid as we used to see from him on a regular basis, but we're trending. We're definitely trending. If you're new and you don't know who Ludvig Åberg is, I mean, get used to the name. He's an absolute crusher. He withdrew from, oh boy, I guess he didn't withdraw, but he did not play the Wells Fargo Championship. I think he said he just wanted to get some rest in. Since he turned pro, he's probably the third best player in the world. That was about a year ago. And he's still getting, you know, he's played one major in his life. Finished runner-up at the Masters earlier this year. We'll see what people do with him. And then Brooks Koepka, I'll pull up his stat profile, because if you don't watch him every single week, you're probably not fully in touch with what he's been doing. So he struggled a lot with the putter. At the end of 2023 and into 2024, he's made a switch. He's going to a Scotty. I think it's a 5.5 Phantom, I believe is the mallet style of putter that he's using now. Gains four strokes putting it in LIV Golf Singapore and wins that golf tournament. So I know I just threw a lot at you. And if you find any of this helpful, hit the like button. Goes a long way for me. But the way that I read this is it's all the Scotty and Rory you can eat. It is Rom hoping he is going to be a pivot. It is Brooks to an extent. I imagine he's going to be quite popular. And then if you can get Ludvig at a good deal, you get him at a good deal. If you end up with no Xander, no Cantlay, no Morikawa, I'm not upset. The guy that would worry me the most about burning me if I didn't have any of him would be Morikawa, because I'm starting to see the breadcrumbs of his game rounding into shape. Now, for those sneaky guys who skipped through the intro and did not see my announcements, there is a second chance one and done that starts this week. Runs the PGA Championship to the BMW Championship. $50 entry, $3,500 to first if we can fill this thing. Go rock and roll. It's got a much flatter payout system. It's on Splash. It's fully regulated in like 41 states and the District of Columbia. I listened to your feedback about the price point and the payout structure. Worked with those guys and got it in there. So go check it out. Link is in the description. Everything you ever need is always in the description. Now the 9K range. Okay. There's a lot here. So it's Cam Smith down to Cameron Young. Let's start with the guys that I have concerns with. Will Zalatoris being one. What he did at the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow was just not good. And we are starting to see a lot more red than we're seeing green. I was hopeful that he was going to be able to use his elite ball striking to separate himself at Quail Hollow. He didn't do that. In fact, he got worse basically every day. He third and fourth round the weekend was brutal. He lost 7.8 strokes on Sunday alone. When you combine that with now the putter's gone, right? You know, I think it's safe to say we got the bump from the long putter to start 2024. And he's lost the spark. Not only has he lost the spark, he's lost the feel. All of it is gone. He's lost like 15 strokes putting in his last five measured events. It's horrendous stuff. Combine that with the decline in ball striking and the decline in tee to green play has me, I believe, rightfully concerned. I would normally just fire up Will Zalatoris at major championships. His record's phenomenal. But I think it's fair to be concerned, because even basically every major he's ever played in his life, he's been in much better form leading into it. And we're not seeing that right now. So that's a pretty big concern for me. Victor Hovland is trying to bait us back in. And I'm quick to get back into that game, but he's trying to. T24 at Quail Hollow was not good. Thursday was pretty bad. Friday was pretty bad. What he gave us on Sunday was the stuff you like to see. He gained 3.9 strokes on approach. I believe that's the fourth best approach round of his entire career. Did he find something? Did it click? I think that's possible. The overriding concern still remains the complete regression back to the around the green golfer that he was in 2022. That's the concern. I'm worried that we get a very similar stat line at Valhalla, where he gains 5 strokes ball striking, loses 3 in the short game, and finishes, yeah, like T18, something like that. That would be my concern. We're not seeing the stat profile that we got in 2023, which unlocked some just, you know, hair on fire golf from Victor. So I think Victor might be closer than Zalatoris is at the moment, but both of those guys still giving me enough concern. Justin Thomas is going to head back to Louisville. And Justin Thomas, you know, we saw him get pretty emotional a couple weeks ago. You know, they honored him in town. And I'm looking at this stat profile and thinking it's pretty good, right? And we talked about it before the Wells Fargo Championship. The 1.8 strokes that he lost on approach on Friday really set him back. The rest of his stat profile is completely, each day is completely in line with what you would expect from Justin Thomas. Just an elite short game, back to being a great ball striker. The putter, okay, which is fine, right? 2.6 to the positive at RBC Heritage and a 0 at Quail Hollow. I'll take both of those outcomes. So we're getting warmer here. We're working our way up. Guys that give us concern, give us pause, and then guys that are giving us a little bit of excitement. How about guys that are giving us a lot of excitement? Okay, I think I can handle that. That list would be Joaquin Niemann, Bryson DeChambeau, Max Homa. Those guys are giving me pretty significant excitement levels. Let's start with Joaquin Niemann. If you go back to the power rankings and look at the raw strokes gained for everybody in the world, Joaquin Niemann's gaining 2.25 strokes per round. He's been one of the best players in the world this year. That's across LIV, and that is across the Asian Tour. He's played a couple events over there. I'll pull up his stat profile so that you can see. And even in Singapore, which is the last event that he played on LIV, loses 2.5 strokes putting, but he gains 8 on approach. I believe that was number one in the field, and it's his best since LIV Golf Mayakoba. That was an event that he won. So he is still just vibing right now. He didn't even have his best stuff in Adelaide and finished T3 there, was pretty darn good at the Masters, finishing T22, even though he kind of let Friday's rounds get away from him. If you remember, Friday was very difficult. It was very nasty, very windy. It kind of ate up a lot of different guys. So I'm not super concerned about that. So excited about Niemann. I was very excited about Bryson before the Masters. And that was great. He made me look very, very smart there. The thing I like about Bryson is I think the PGA Championship and the US Open are probably going to be better spots for him than Augusta National is. Right? We know the problems that Augusta National can cause for Bryson, for very wild misses, for left misses, for trying, you know, lack of creativity, all that stuff. This major championship, Valhalla, might look a lot like Winged Foot. You know, when I was showing you those 27 yard wide fairways with thick rough and graduated rough, if everyone is missing the fairway, that gives a big boost to club head speed. Bryson has that. Bryson can extract himself from basically any position. We've got to get the putter working a little bit better than it did in Adelaide and a little bit better than it did in Singapore. But I think this is a really good spot for Bryson. And then Max Homa has quietly started to play some really good golf. The T3 at the Masters, the T8 at Wells Fargo. He keeps getting better at majors, right? He hasn't had a great major championship record in his career. But the thing is, his best two major championship results, T10 and T3, are his two most recent. 8.5 strokes ball striking at the Open last year, 6.5 at the Masters this year. This is what a natural growth and progression looks like. And Max Homa's done nothing but grow and just constantly get better. And he's playing well leading into this when a lot of his peers can't really say that. We started this section with some concerns. We'll end it with some concerns. That would be Cam Smith. He is on brand. He is wholly reliant on the short game. You saw the mapping of this golf course. It is going, I believe it is going to eat Cam Smith alive. He's incredibly talented. And if he gains 15 strokes in the short game, maybe it goes well for him, but I would find that pretty difficult to believe. And he's the most expensive in this 9K range. I think there's a lot of other ways to spend your money here. Here's the 8K range. And there's one name that jumps out to me immediately here, and it's Tyrrell Hatton. He's $8,200. If you sort this entire range, last 36 rounds, strokes gained total, Hatton's at 1.48 strokes per round. It's the best of anybody in this range. The other thing to consider is if you go to the trends tool and you just sort this, so last 36 rounds, you take how everyone is playing in that 36 and compare it to their 100 round baseline, then you kind of put it all together and find out the number in which a golfer is trending right now. That's how this tool works. Tyrrell Hatton is the best player, the best trending player. I call it strokes gain trend. In that 8K range, and he's one of the best in the field. He's at 1.57 on that trend strokes gained metric. And what I like about his game, I'll pull up his stat profile here. What I like about his game at major championships is how well-rounded he is. He's longer than you think. He's like 30th in this field, maybe 20th in this field in driving distance. He can be a really good second shot player like he was in Singapore. And usually he gains both around the green and with the putter. So I like that. If you look at, let's look at some of his major championship record. I don't know it off the top of my head, but he obviously had a good Masters. So he finished, let me get this clicked here. There we go. Finished T9 at the Masters, T20 at the Open, T27 at the US Open, T15 at the PGA Championship. So right there, his last four major championships are all 27th or better. Then 34th at the Masters, 11th at the Open. He hasn't missed a cut at a major since the 2021 Open. And then since the 2022 PGA Championship, the one that was held at Southern Hills, every single finish but one is 34th or better. He's a low-key, pretty darn good major championship player, and he's playing better now than he probably was leading into any of those other events. So he's $8,200, which is pretty cheap and just stands out to me like crazy. Jordan Spieth will have you ripping your hair out this week, not only because that's what he does on a weekly basis, but he's actually like, he picks up five strokes off the tee last week, the Wells Fargo Championship. He led the field. Guess what he did after that? Gave back five strokes on approach. So here's the problem. And I think this actually does make sense in the realm of a weird Jordan Spieth thing. He's got this wrist injury, right? And this wrist injury is, it like pops, this ligament pops in and pops out. I'm not a doctor. And he never knows when it's coming. Okay. So he's kind of always playing in fear of when that's coming and when it's going to hurt and when it's going to not. So it kind of makes sense that shots in which he has to interact with the ground, he is very bad at right now. And shots that he does not have to interact with the ground, when a ball sits on a tee, he's still pretty good at, right? You know, hitting driver, don't touch the ground. He's crushing it with the driver. He's gained strokes in seven straight and some of them in massive ways. Yet in six of his last seven, he has hemorrhage strokes on approach because he has to interact with the turf. That is my take on this. That is, you know, reading between the lines, reading the tea leaves, and looking at his stat sheet. I don't know how that's going to be any different this week. I think he could drive it well, maybe put up a little short game magic, but it's not going to be much of an investment for me when it comes to Jordan Spieth. I've been a big fan of Tommy Fleetwood this year, and I don't think that that needs to stop anytime soon. Look at his well-rounded game over here on the left. He's better than tour average over the last 100 rounds in all four major categories. He usually does do a good job of gaining throughout the bag. He's putting together a lot of really good finishes since the end of 2023. Just nothing to really sway me from Tommy Fleetwood. Is he finally going to break out and win? Probably not. Is he capable of finishing inside the top five? Absolutely. He is. The rest of the 8K range, I think, is just worth a sprinkle. You know, I love the talent of Sam Burns, but we haven't seen enough good golf out of him recently. I think Patrick Reed at major championships has a really underrated record, and I think he's playing in something like his 40th consecutive major championship or something like that. It's just an incredible streak. And then Dustin Johnson has given us flashes of brilliance at times, but hasn't been able to follow it up with anything consistent, you know, over multiple starts. And, you know, it's just kind of all over the place. It would be one thing if he was always losing on approach or always losing with the putter. It's not. There's just kind of different things plaguing him each and every week. He won early in the year in Las Vegas, but since that, it's kind of all over the yard. So just sprinkling these guys in, especially if they do go under-owned, is probably the way that I'm going to be approaching the rest of that 8K range. The 7K range has a lot of value. And speaking of value, I'm going to try to get you guys a little bit of value here. So I remember I gave you a little hint last week about the new bonus that was coming on Underdog. Yeah, that's out now. So now the deposit matches is up to $250. It used to be just 100. So 2.5x. I hope you guys waited the extra day for me. The link is in the description. You can go get that. The code is Rick, but you can click through it and rock it that way as well. They already have PGA Championship stuff up, and I know they're going to be doing a ton of different props and rivals and everything for this week. I'm going to give you one good thing, and I'm going to give you a couple of good things. I'm going to give you one bad thing. So I'm always real with you guys. I love Underdog. We have a really good partnership. They've done great things. You should be avoiding these. So they have put up this week round four finishing position, which I love that. I want, you know, used to just be round by round. I love that this is basically a per tournament thing. However, these are really bad numbers. Okay. So this is Will Zalatoris 4.75x to finish better than 5.5. So the way that I'm reading that is for him to finish inside the top five, right? Fifth place or better at 4.75x. Well, Zalatoris's betting odds to finish inside the top five are, let's see, 10-1. Okay. And that does not even mention the fact that you have to also pick a second leg of this. So, Underdog rarely misses. I think this is a miss. You should avoid these. Now, the things that you shouldn't avoid, because there are really good options, and I know there's going to be a lot more this week, there are two that are jarring to me. So they have Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods props available right now. And you'll notice, like, Jordan Spieth's at 70 strokes for round one, and Patrick Reed's at 70.5, Bryson's 69, right? So we're all in this, like, you know, Tom Kim 70.5. We're all in this kind of like 69 to 70 range. So what do you think Phil and Tiger are? 74, 75. Michael Block is 74 and a half. What are Phil and Tiger? 71.5. Tiger is 71.5. Phil, where is Phil? Did I pass over him? 71.5. Now this I can get behind. Higher on both of these guys. I don't even know. I mean, they are being priced as if they are really competitive. And I know Tiger made the cut at the Masters. I was there. That is completely different than what we are getting right now. Phil has been mildly competitive. I'm not even sure that's the way to put it on LIV. He is going to be playing out of the thickest rough constantly. His short game is no longer magic. And this golf course is going to be incredibly long for him. Tiger is going to this place. They're going from Augusta National, where they both have massive amounts of experience and knowledge and no rough, to a place that is going to just gobble them up, in my opinion. So higher on both of these, 71.5 for round one. That is a, what is that? That is a 2.76x payout. And then, of course, you could, you know, put other stuff on with that. But this is where I would go. And I would be trying to pick on guys like Patrick Cantlay higher than 69.5. And if you do like the lower side of things, there are some good options, right? John Rahm lower than 69, or John Rahm higher than 4.5 birdies. I think there'll be some birdies out there for these guys. So you can kind of mix this up any way you want. I'll tweet out some stats on these guys. I'll include some in my newsletter, things like that. But don't play the finishing positions unless these numbers get a lot better. Okay. That's not going to be good for anybody. The code is Rick. The link is in the description. Go check it out. Okay. Back to the 7K range. So a lot here. Siwoo Kim has been basically the best ball striker on earth, not named Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, or that might be it. Look at these numbers. Plus 7.6 last week, plus 6.6 the week before. He has not lost strokes ball striking since the RSM Classic. That was in 2023, so he hasn't done it this year. The putter's a problem. I understand that. Even he gets hot every now and again. 4.7 at the Players' Championship. He finished T6 there. Even with these miserable putting weeks, he has three straight top 20s and five top 20s in his last six. And the one that wasn't a top 20 was a T30 at the Masters. So yeah, I guess we're just going to continue to play Siwoo. I will look at Taylor Gooch here. So boy, if Gooch has any chutzpah, he better play well this week, right? After all the conversation around, there should be asterisks for majors that or for events and wins that we're not in or I'm not in or whatever. And then to get the special invite, if he has any cojones, he better play well this week. And I think it's possible. Historically, he's usually a pretty good driver of the ball. His approach metrics are very good right now. He's gained multiple strokes on approach in four out of his last five. The short game's been fantastic. He's been a great putter. His major championship record is not good. Missed the cut in each of his last two majors, which was the Open last year at Royal Liverpool and then the PGA Championship at Oak Hill last year. He only has one top 20 at a major, and it was the 20 he's got a 20th at Southern Hills and a 14th at the 2022 Masters. Those are his best two finishes. He needs to play well. He absolutely needs to play well. Alex Noren is $7,200. If you've been following along, you know that I'm a big believer in Noren, and I think his game really plays well at major championships because par is often a good score. He was not good on Friday last week. Outside of that, he was pretty darn good. He gained four strokes to the field in round number one. He gained three in round three. Lost a little bit on Sunday. Not a big deal. Still finished T24. He is like second in bogey avoidance on the PGA Tour. I think it's Scottie Scheffler, Alex Noren, Xander Schauffele, something like that. He just never makes any bogeys. It's just very, very rare. And when you can do that, and he only has a one-way miss, he just like never misses left off the tee. It is a very consistent, sound game, and it's a really good stat profile that he's putting together. I'm not even sure the last time he played a major, because he didn't play the Masters this year. Let's see here. Load this up. Okay, played the Open last year. He was pretty bad last year. So T23 at the Open, missed the cut at like six consecutive majors before that. But look at all these bad stat lines, and look at the stat line that he's dealing with right now. Just green all over the yard, as opposed to all this ball striking misery. Honorable mention here to Steven Yeager. He deserves it, but we're going to focus on Sepp Straka, which is not a sentence that I usually say or say often, but it is well deserved. T8 at Quail Hollow last week. So now he has, and I'm not even going to count the T11 at the Zurich Classic because that's a team event. So he has back-to-back top eight finishes. He has three straight top 16s. That farthest one back was the Masters. He finished T16. He's got another T16 at the Players. He is so good off the tee, generally because he can keep the ball in play, not because he's a long hitter, but he is like, I love this, right? 15th in distance from edge of fairway, second in driving accuracy. That will be his superpower this week. If he can play out of the fairway, if he can separate himself by being the guy that hits, I don't even know, 10 more fairways over 4 days than everybody else or than the field average, that is his path because the rest of his game has been very, very sound. Sepp Straka is only $7,500. He would certainly be a good way to build your lineups. And then, you know, got to show you Dean Burmeister here. So Burmy, you know, we were a week early on Burmeister's win. So we were just betting him. Actually, probably not that old. We probably bet him the 2 weeks prior to the victory because he was trending in such a good way. He had two really good wins on the European Tour at the end of 2023, and then he kept it going into 2024. This is about as well-rounded and powerful as you can get. He's a big, strong guy. He can move the ball out of the rough. You look at his last 100 rounds, look at how bad his putting is over the last 100. Look at how good his putting is over his last 20 or so, right? He has really started to figure it out. I think he is a low-key, pretty good sleeper. I'm actually going to star him here so I don't forget about him. But Burmy's probably one of the better options in the 7K range. Okay, $6,000 range. There are some good, not great options here. Tiger's in you know, I'll just show you Tiger's profile just because I'm, you know, like contractually obligated for all the money that he's poured into golf to show you Tiger's profile. The 60th at the Masters, in which he, you know, I mean, the weekend, this is the problem, right? Even if he gets to the weekend, it's probably going to be pretty bad because the body starts to break down. And this is at a golf course that, you know, he knows better than anybody and sets up so well for him, but it's not good. He loses strokes on approach routinely. The putter's not good enough. There's nothing statistically in Tiger's game that gets me even the least bit excited, but I hope he goes up and wins. Adrian Meronk. I was very excited about Meronk at the Masters and he burned me on that. Okay. And if you look at basically every other start except for the Masters, he's been great. And I'm sick enough to want to be interested in this again. I mean, that is one outlier. Every other week, he's pretty good off the tee. He's great on approach. The short game is good enough, except the Masters. Maybe it's first time at Augusta National and just kind of destroyed him. Kitayama, I think, is interesting. Bunch of top 30 finishes and finished fourth here last year. I think that's noteworthy. Denny McCarthy has shown how high upside he's got. T6 at Wells Fargo. He played the Texas Open and battled it with Akshay. Interesting. Not like sprinting to access all of these guys. Billy Horschel, really ugly Wells Fargo championship, and he missed the cut to Zurich. I don't care about that, but just won three starts ago in Punta Cana. His game is rounded into form pretty significantly. Oh, and then Taylor Pendrith. Taylor Pendrith might actually be one of the most mispriced golfers or one of the guys that offers the most value. So it would have been easy for him to win and then just kind of roll over a little bit, right? You get that first PGA Tour win, you take a sigh of relief, goes out and gains another 3.5 strokes off the tee at the Wells Fargo Championship. So now he's gone 11th, 11th win and 10th. If you look at his stat profile, it's very different than, you know, complete opposite of someone like Sepp Straka. The path for Pendrith is going to be club head speed. It's going to be distance. It's going to be, if you spray it, be able to extract yourself. So, you know, if Pendrith is the guy, and if everyone's missing fairways and Pendrith is the long guy who is extracting his golf ball and still piling up birdies and playing well as he has in the last couple of weeks, that's his path to success. There's a couple ways to get there. They're pretty narrow, but there are paths for some of these guys. And Pendrith at $6,000 flat is pretty crazy. The 5K range is here. What's his name? Scottie Scheffler at the top, 13,200. And then that means we're getting guys here in the 5K range. And I do think there are some really good options here, right? So we've got, if you've been following on this channel, you've been tracking Nick Dunlap and Mackenzie Hughes. I think both those guys are trending in the right direction. But if you've been following along, you already know that. Sebastian Soderberg. So he is now, let's pull up his profile. If you saw why he was popping, you know, on all those like, oh, last, you know, 36 rounds or whatever, it's because of this. It's because he's crushing the European Tour. So his last three starts on the DP World Tour are all podiums, T2 runner up and T3 in India, Australia, and China. He has got two more top 10s in his last what's that? Seven starts. So that's five total in his last seven. You look at his strokes gain numbers, it's nine or more basically every single week he plays. So he's crushing the European Tour. Will that be able to translate? I don't know, but you're getting a guy who's pretty darn confident. Speaking of confidence, Adrian Otegi just won in China. So if you're going to give Soderberg a little bit of a boost, you got to give Otegi the boost. He won in China. He finished fourth in Kenya, and he's played, didn't he play? I thought he played somewhere else that was not the European Tour. He did not. My bad on that. Tim Whiting has gone back-to-back wins on the Korn Ferry Tour. So he won the Suncoast and he won the Veritex Bank. He's having an unbelievable year. Again, will that translate? I don't know the answer to that question, but these are flyers and I think they are worth it. And then you start to get down into, you get into some of the Corebridge financial guys. You're getting into the PGA pros down here. I love the skill set of Vincent Norman, but that's he's not playing very well. Michael Block is in the field. That's not very interesting. None of these guys are. Wyatt Worthington is a flat 5,000. Shot a 59 a couple of weeks ago. Probably should have ran away with the PGA Club Pro, but was sick the last couple of days. He ended up getting in anyway. He'll be ready to go. Interesting. Okay, let's run a model. So we've got a lot going on here because, as I've said 1,000 times, there are golfers from a bunch of different tours, a bunch of different places. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to put a baseline of 20 weights on stroke, weighted strokes gain total. Okay. And that is just us leveling the playing field. It is, you know, knocking down Steve Schricker, knocking down Sebastian Soderberg, bringing up Xander Schauffele, stuff like that, right? Okay. But then what we're going to do is we are going to go with driving distance for 20, driving accuracy for 10. We are going to do greens in regulation for 25. We are going to do, scrambling would be interesting, but let's just do strokes gained approach, strokes gained around the green last 36 for 15. And then we've got 10 left. We could do bogey avoidance, I think would be interesting. We could also do, how about this? We could do strokes gained. I think I have strokes gained majors in here, don't I? Strokes gained majors. Do I not have that? I thought I had that at one point. Maybe not. Maybe I'll have to get that back. What I will do is put the final 10 on strokes gained hard courses. And here we go. Wow. Okay. My number one golfer, Scottie Scheffler, no surprise. There's probably like almost zero ways I could put the 100 weights in and not get Scottie to be my number one golfer. Wyndham Clark is number two, which is very interesting. John Rahm is three. Hideki is four. Xander is five. JT is six. That's sick. Ludwig is seven. Tony Finau is eight. Alex Noren is nine. Rory McIlroy is 10. Yeah, Rory gets a knock on driving accuracy, a knock on green and regulation, a knock around the green. Not brilliant stuff, but Spieth is 11. Neiman is 12. Hatton is 13. Wow. Okay, I'm going to save this. So we're going to call this Monday PGA Championship. And we'll revisit that on the live chat, which is going to be Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time, probably from either a hotel room in Louisville or the media center at Valhalla. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I owe you guys a debt of gratitude. Without your support, I would have no chance of going to these events and doing this for a living. So just absolute hat tip, golf clap to all of you guys. Much appreciated. If you could do me a favor, hit the like button, go check out rickrungood.com, check out the links in the description. It's all good stuff. I wouldn't tell you to check it out if it wasn't. Let's have a great week.